For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
You know, it's a blessing to have those who've been here years ago come back and hear what the Lord's done for them. We've been here like forever. 22 years we've been here. And in 22 years, there's been thousands and thousands of people come through Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds. And if they were all to come back at one time, we couldn't get them on the 40 acres in the back. But one day we're all going to meet, and we're all going to praise, and we're all going to tell what Jesus has done for us. Because He is Lord. He is Lord. Well, you know, the Word says that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So if we come and lift up Jesus and lift Him up, we can't be doing it too much wrong. Now, I'm going to read us some scriptures tonight. I read most of them Sunday, but I felt that I wanted to read them again here tonight, some scriptures. And I am of the opinion, personally, that Jesus was born on the great day of Feast of Tabernacles. That is my personal belief. But Jesus said, if He's lifted up, He'll draw all men unto Him. So regardless of whether He was born on that day or some other day is really immaterial, because if the Scripture had wanted us to know, the Lord would have very plainly laid it out for us, the day that He was born on. But I also am of the belief that He will return on the same day He was born on. That's my opinion. And I believe that He will return on the day of the feast, or the great day of the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know when, but that's my personal belief. In my studies and all that I have heard and read and studied, that's the conclusion that I have come to. Now, I may be in error, but one of these days before too long, some of us are going to find out for sure, because some of us are going to be here when He comes. So we'll find out if we're here. But regardless of that, we can praise Jesus and lift Him up, whether He was born at this time of the year or not. We can still lift up Jesus, and we can and make Him Lord. We must make Him Lord of our lives, because if we don't, we're in big trouble, because He is the only Lord that there is. There are other gods, but there's only one God. And there's only one Lord, and His name is Jesus. Jesus is His name. And over in 1 John, we find here that it says, what does it say in that first verse? It says, in the beginning was the Word. That Word was and is Jesus. He is the Word. It says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So whenever that beginning was, Jesus was. Whenever that beginning was, God was. My mind cannot understand that. And if you try to figure that out, you can lose your mind, because it is beyond our ability to comprehend it. So it's better off that we don't try to figure out something like that that is none of our concern. And I doubt that it will ever be explained to us. And I imagine that in eternity we won't be concerned to have it explained to us. It will be immaterial. But today there are men who spend their time trying to figure these things out, and it has no advantage as far as our walk with the Lord All it does is bring confusion. But it says that the same was in the beginning with God. Then all things were made by him, and without him, the Word, Jesus, was not anything made that was made. And in him Jesus was and is life. And the life was the light, or is the light of men. Jesus is that light, and he is our light. And the light shineth in darkness. You turn the light and everything is dark, and you turn the light on and the darkness is gone. Jesus is the light that shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Now, that is true. Think about that. Everything is dark. Darkness doesn't have any comprehension, and suddenly the light comes on and darkness is gone. It's fled away. The darkness cannot comprehend the light. And we, in reality, cannot comprehend the Lord Jesus. All we can do is, Lord, increase my faith so that I can believe. Help me to be able to believe, Father, that it is written. And that's just what Jesus used when he was tempted. It is written. And you and I need each day to be able to comprehend the fact that we tell Satan, it is written. Jesus is Lord, devil. Jesus is my Savior. He is my deliverer. He is my healer. He is my supplier. You live around this place a while and you really get to understand that phrase, that he's our supplier. So, Jesus is the light that shineth in darkness, and that light has shined to you and me. And we are blessed by the fact that we have come to the knowledge that Jesus is Lord. Do you realize that in comparison to the population of the earth, that those who believe that Jesus is Lord is a very minute part, what's my right word, percentage of the population? The Word says there's a remnant. Well, there is a remnant, but then I believe out of that group that we know as Christians, that there is another remnant that God is working and calling and moving on for the end time that we're living in, which I believe we're living in. So, so-called Christians are just a small percentage of the population of the earth. But out of that, there is an overcoming group that God says he's going to use to bring so that the glory of the Lord will shine forth and cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And I hope to live to see that happen. It is happening, whether we get comprehend. It is happening. But I want to see it come to the fullness of it in and through Jesus. Well, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 7 and read a couple of verses here. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ." So way back here, 500, longer than that, before Jesus was born, the scriptures it's prophesied through Isaiah that Jesus will come and be born of a virgin, and he shall be called Emmanuel. And in chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." And says, "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And here, verse 7. A Fern brought this to my attention last Thursday. It was last Saturday night when we were having Bible study. And it's really mind-boggling, this seventh verse. The others all are, but this one here. "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It is written. But did you hear or comprehend what I read? Of the increase of his government. How can his government increase? It can only increase through you and me. We are the increase of the government of God. That is mind-boggling. You and I are the increase of the government of God. And without us, there would be no increase of his government. You say, well, when he comes, but what's he going to come for? He's coming to set up his kingdom. Without subjects for the kingdom, without the increase, without us being the increase of his kingdom, there would be no kingdom for him to set up. So we are the increase of the kingdom of God. That needs some more study. We need to get some of these little things like that in and through us, that it becomes a living part of us. I am the increase of God. You are the increase of God and of his government in the earth today. We are that government in the earth today. I don't know if we're doing too good a job of it or not, but we are God's government in the earth today. We are his order.
Amen.
That's right. And verse 2 says, of chapter 9, says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. So the light of the Lord Jesus Christ is shining continually upon in the land of darkness and bringing light to those that are lost. And thank the Lord that that light has shined on you and me. And we are today the light of the Lord Jesus. We are the candle that's set on a hill that can't be hid, because the Lord Jesus is that light that's within us. Well, let's go over to Luke and read a few verses here in Luke this evening. Luke chapter 1, and where do I want to read? Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Luke chapter 2. This is what is referred to today as the Christmas story. I don't like that word Christmas myself, personally. But to me, it's the story of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and how he came to this earth. And it says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. You know, he was an enigma to all about him, because according to all the Hebrew law, Mary should have been taken out and stoned. And yet this man takes her and looks after her and takes care of her just as if, you know, before the rest of the world. But the Lord came and told him to take care of her. And so regardless of what the rest of the world thought, Joseph was obedient. Now, history tells us, in some history, that Joseph was probably around 40 years of age. And that he possibly had other children already, that Mary was his second wife. Now, that is tradition. Now, there's nothing concrete to back that up. But we do know that Mary had six more children, at least six, because it says, and Jesus' sisters. So there had to be at least two of them. So that makes a total of seven children that Mary had, six and Jesus being seven. So anyway, Joseph was not ashamed to take Mary and to have her as his wife, in even with the stigma that was laid upon him because of it. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, wrapped him in rags, because that was all, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Here Jesus was laid down with his own creation. They put him in the manger with his own, with that which he had created, and they accepted him. Where the rest of the world refused him, they accepted him. Oh, what a blessing. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The rest of the world didn't want anything to do with him. They didn't have room for him. They didn't have time for him. And it's still true today. They don't have time or room for Jesus. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came up on them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all men. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now you notice the angel didn't go to the Sadducees or to the priest or to the Levites or to the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and to the Sanhedrin. That's what a word I was looking for. The angel didn't go to the Sanhedrin or to the priest. He went to those who were despised and lowly, had the lowest job of all. They were considered the least of all, the shepherds who took care of the sheep. They were considered the least in the kingdom, and yet they were the greatest, because that's who the Lord sent to announce his coming unto them. And they received him with joy. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Now when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now Jesus' name was given before he was born, and the Lord knows each one of us. He knows who we are, and He knows, and he gives us the opportunity to serve him. He gives us the privilege to serve him. And we, you and I, can choose. And God won't force you. But you can choose to serve God, or you can choose not to serve God. And you can choose to become that which the Lord can make out of you, or you can be that which you can make out of yourself. And when you get through with what you can make out of yourself, you still won't amount to anything. But if you let God use you to make what he can make out of you, the Lord will be able to use you today and tomorrow and in the kingdom for his glory and for his name's sake. And when the days of your purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, he brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now here's Jesus, the creator of the universe, the owner, actually the owner of everything, and yet the lowest offering that could be brought was brought for him. That which was least was what was brought. He couldn't afford a lamb, so they brought two turtle doves and two pigeons as the offering. And Jesus, and they in no way tried to sidestep the commandments of the Lord. Jesus' life fulfilled every commandment, and every law was fulfilled in and through Jesus. It was completed. When he said, "It is finished," he had completed every law of every sacrifice that was required. So that time, it was finished. He completed it. No more was needed. He was the sacrifice. He is the sacrifice. And his blood atoned for then and for now and for all future. Throughout eternity, his blood does and will atone for whatever is needed. And it is a living, to my belief and my understanding and the way I comprehend, that the blood of the Lord Jesus is a living substance that will ever be upon the throne before the upon the altar before the throne, a living substance of what he has done for you and me, that we will see but never be able to fully understand, but to see and know that by that blood we were redeemed and have a right to salvation and eternity and to the kingdom because of what Jesus did at Calvary for you and me. Beyond what I can comprehend or understand. But I know that Jesus is Lord, and his blood cleanses and washes from sin. Beyond what I can comprehend or understand. But I know that Jesus is Lord, and his blood cleanses and washes from sin, and sets the vilest sinner free. Hallelujah. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, you know, it's strange, how that verse reads. I'll reread it to you, and maybe you'll understand what I'm saying. I wonder why that verse doesn't read, "And the man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of the Jews, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Think about that sometime. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the heathen, and the glory of thy people Israel.'" Hallelujah. "And Joseph, his mother, marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also,'" speaking of Calvary, "And the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day." You realize that she was somewhere between 106 and 110 years of age. She was 84 years old at this time. She had been married 7 years, so that makes her 91 years old. She was a minimum of 15 when she got married. So at 15 to 91, you've got 106. Now, she was a minimum of 106 years old. She could have been as much as 110. Anyway, you can figure all these things out if you just do it, and I'm one who figures them all out. And she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He grew. He didn't stay a babe in a manger. Thank the Lord that he grew and became a man, and that he lives in our hearts and lives. Amen, amen. That's right. But we look at him as the risen Lord, and that he lives today. Well, I want to go over and read a couple of verses in chapter 7. Let me see what I want to read here. Maybe you'll comprehend. I'll explain to you. Verse 7 of 7. It says, "Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee." I'm reading about the centurion who had a servant that was sick, and he came and asked Jesus to heal his servant. And he's telling Jesus about it here. And he says that you're not worthy to come to my roof. He says, neither am I myself worthy to come unto thee. And the reason he's saying this was because he was a heathen, and heathens weren't considered to be able to associate with the Israelites. And so he's letting Jesus know who he is, and he's not saying that I'm worthy for you to come and or anything. But he says, I'm not worthy to come unto thee. But say any word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. I'm wondering how much our faith we have in the Lord. We know about Jesus. We know all that he's able to do for us. But Lord, help our unbelief. That we will have faith to believe that what the Lord has said, it is written, we can believe that it will take place for you and me. For he is no respecter of persons. And so what he does for one, just as in Stuart Hamlin's song, what he's done for one, he'll do for you. And that's true. If we can get this mind of ours to comprehend and to believe what is written. Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Now Jesus has risen from the dead. He has overcome death. He has fulfilled all the laws that were required of the Hebrew, of the Israelites. He has fulfilled them all. And now he's standing at the time of his ascension. And he says here in verse 14 of chapter 16 of Mark, and afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. And if they were that way, Lord, how are we? Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and teach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow you and me that believe. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall remove Satan. And if you shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. And you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Thank you, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege you give us to lay hands on the sick And we believe that they will recover. Amen, amen. Well, I want to go back to Isaiah and reread a couple of verses that I have already read in Isaiah chapter 9. I got to watch. I got too many slips of paper laying around between the pages here. In chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, remember, it says, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. So the child is born, and he becomes a son. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Revelations, chapter 1, verse 5. Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us a kingdom of priests unto God and to his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen, amen, and amen. Chapter 22, verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Blessed are they that do my commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and warmongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth or maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel, or messenger, to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, I thank God that I'm a whosoever.
Amen.
That whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And he which testifieth these things said, Surely, I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that Jesus came as a babe, but he didn't stay a babe in a manger. He became the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory. And I thank you, Father, that he suffered that I might have life, and that by his blood which he shed, not only at the cross, Father, but for the crown of thorns or at the whipping post. And when he sweat in the Garden of Gethsemane, by all these things, Father, you've given unto us life eternal, but by your word. And Father, I thank you for Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that because he's risen, we have life and we have the promise of eternal life. That he's not dead in a grave, but he's alive and he's risen. For he lives. And he lives in the hearts and lives of each one of us tonight, Father. And we declare that he is Lord. He's Lord of our lives. And he's Lord of all that we can ever do or think. Father, help us to be able to commit our lives unto you, to make you truly Lord of lords and King of kings, that you may say unto us in the day to come, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. If we have been faithful in that which you've given, enter in and into your rest. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I think we ought to sing, He Lives. For He does live. And He is living. Amen, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.